We're joined by Toronto Blue Jays first baseman Justin Smoak. I guess, first of all, congratulations on what has been an all-star worthy, almost full first half of the season.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Now, you know what people say about the guy who's been around as long as you have. What you've done so far is what they expected. You've delivered a whole lot more than that. What's different about you? What different approach did you take this year?
Honestly, I just feel like I tried to take pressure off myself. I feel like I've always in the past been too hard on myself. I'm not going to say I've been a head case, but I've tried to change everything possible to make it right. And sometimes you forget it's a game of failure and you're going to fail. And you got to, you know, just keep a positive mindset and keep going out there and grinding away.
You've had that great season, and no one doesn't see it continuing. Do trades do that, Justin? I mean, we all go to different workplaces, and maybe we try too hard at first. A teacher could do that. A lawyer could do that. We could do that in our business. When you went Texas to Seattle and then picked up by Toronto after the Mariners run, is that possible that it was an effort thing, that you're almost trying to do too much?
That definitely could be, but it's definitely not an excuse for how I've played in the past. I mean, I feel like right now where I'm at, I feel like it's what I kind of expected. It's what I've kind of the player I've been my whole life until I got to the big leagues. And, you know, now I'm starting to do it now. And, yeah, I guess it's better late than never. But, you know, at the same time, it's one of those things where I just feel like I've finally learned that you're going to fail. You're going to got to go out there and just grind out at bats and compete. And I think the biggest thing for me is one thing I lost in the past was I'd get in the box and I'm thinking about everything else, but all right, what's this guy going to do to me? Like, forget about competing, and I feel like I've competed better than I ever have.
No doubt, confidence is such a big thing when it comes to hitting in Major League Baseball. And you've been in the big leagues for a while now. At which point did you finally believe that this was going to be something that was going to continue? Because you haven't been just locked in for a few at-bats. It's been a really good season to this point.
Yeah, I think early on I felt like I just kind of, you know, I was in a place where I wasn't trying to drive the ball. I wasn't trying to hit it 500 feet every time I got in the box. I was honestly going up there, taking nice and easy and just trying to square balls up. And I feel and I know that if I do that, I'm big enough, I'm strong enough. If I square it up, it's got a chance to go out of the ballpark. And, you know, I think it's just taking me time to realize that, you know, you don't have to go up there and try to hit it 500 feet every time to hit a homer. And, you know, you can't swing at a curveball like you swing at a fastball. You can't swing at a changeup like you swing at a fastball. So it's, you know, something that, you know, I've been able to make adjustments on.
Justin Smoak's our guest, Brady and Price, Sportsnet starting lineup. Jays in the middle of a series against the Texas Rangers before moving on to Kansas City. We all, in your career, in our career, there's you replace somebody. You've been there, but getting this full-time time at first base with the absence of Edwin Encarnacion, I mean, you were a great college ball player at South Carolina. Eventually, someone's like, oh my goodness, I've got to replace Justin Smoak in this lineup. There's not been really replacing Edwin, but I'd say the productivity that you've shared with Kendrys Morales, people have been awfully impressed by, and people were really worried, as you can guess, when a player like Edwin leaves a roster, that there's going to be a void somehow, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'd be the first to tell you that after the season last year, I texted Eddie and was trying to, you know, say, hey, what's the deal? We want you back, whatever. And I mean, loved the guy. He was a great player, no doubt. But I think the key with that, he was a really good teammate. And so, you know, that's something that always set with me and probably set with a lot of guys on our team. And, you know, we always wanted him back. But, you know, things happen, and, you know, he had to do what he had to do. And, you know, I guess the Blue Jays had to do what they had to do. So it's just one of those things where you're not going to replace Edwin Encarnacion. Mm-hmm. You're just not going to replace him. So it's something where I just, you know, try to say, hey, Gibby told me in camp, it's, you know, take it and run with it. And, you know, I feel like I've done that so far.
From a team standpoint, we've been so locked into getting this team to 500 and trying to get them over 500 that I think we've lost the other side of the conversation. How you guys have battled to hang on to this season, not let it get away after the bad start, winning the last game of the Yankees series, winning the last game of the White Sox series. Every time it looks like you guys really need to win a game to prove to yourself that you're hanging in, you do it.
Yeah, we have, and you know, the first month and a half there, 2 months, I mean, everybody's hurt, and, you know, it was tough. It's definitely not easy. And so, especially when, you expect the team to look one way, and then all of a sudden you don't see anybody. You know, so it was definitely tough, but we were able to, you know, grind some wins out there, and you know, finally get, you know, pretty much everybody back now healthy. And yeah, I think it's just a matter of going out there and winning ball games, so we have something to play for there at the end.
Justin Smoak joining us, top 10 in a lot of AL hitting categories, and it's just been a joy to watch you this year. Let me ask you about, you come as a rookie to the Texas Rangers. This is a selfish question. Elliot will like it. Our listeners will like it. You're a rookie, and you step into a Texas Rangers lineup with 35-year-old Vladimir Guerrero. So for Canadian baseball fans who he wowed in Montreal, tell us, you're playing with good players too. I mean, there's some rising stars. Ian Kinsler's very good, Nelson Cruz. But Vladdy must have had people just watch his batting practices and marvel at them. What was it like being 12 years younger than a Vladimir Guerrero almost at the end of his career?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, that whole team was unbelievable. People asked, like, how it was in Texas. I was like, well, it was quick. I was there two and a half months, and then I was gone to Seattle. But, I mean, the team that we had there, I mean, Vladdy, Josh Hamilton, Michael Young, Kinsler, you can just keep going on and on and on. And so it's one of those things where to be able to see Vladdy play day in and day out and just see what he does. I mean, the guy could hit anything, any pitch, anywhere, any count. Like, it was, for me, it was special to just be a part of that team.
What's it going to be like, and this could happen next spring, Vladdy Jr. is eventually going to come to camp with the Toronto Blue Jays, and you going to feel old?
No. I mean, I don't know. I'm 30, but, I mean, I definitely don't feel old. I think I got to see him as spring training a couple of times this year. He's a big boy and, you know, looks just like his daddy. So we'll see how that goes.
Justin Smoak joining us. Playoffs have obviously revitalized and just put such a lightning bolt into Toronto fans. I know you must be, you see a window on this team with the age of the team, veteran players. It's a business, you know that. And I'd still wonder if you are just so excited to maybe be even a bigger part of this. Obviously, you split time with Chris 2 years ago in the playoffs. Last year, it didn't go the way everybody wanted it to after going to the ALCS the year before. The year you're having, you'd be really excited to be a playoff player this year, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's what I think every year you play for, is to make it to the playoffs. And, you know, once you get in, it's just a matter of getting hot at the right time, I feel like. You know, at the same time, you know, it would be pretty cool for myself. I played the first playoff game in 15 and didn't play much after that. But, you know, other than that, I mean, it was, you know, it's a great experience. It's something, you know, like I said earlier, you want to win as many games as we can now to have something to play for there at the end.
You feel like playing against the Texas Rangers because what's gone on the last couple of years? Does it feel different than just stepping on the field and playing, I don't know, Tampa Bay?
I mean, it always, for me, coming back to Texas or playing Texas feels different for me just because getting drafted by them and being here for a little bit. But, you know, it felt different, you know, first couple times coming back here. But now all that stuff's kind of in the past, and, you know, it's just another game. Got to go out there and try to win it.
You've said so, yeah, a relaxed approach, a different approach, not being as hard on yourself. We had Marco Strada on a few weeks ago, and he said when he got traded for Milwaukee, I think he'd led the league in the National League in home runs given up. He wasn't guaranteed a spot in this rotation, in the Jays rotation, because of the depth it had and injuries open up. Did you process any of the doubts that anyone had, like I said, about production, about getting a contract extension? Is that fuel? I mean, everybody's allowed an opinion about every athlete and every sport, but did you ignore it, or does it the kind of thing where you go, yeah, I don't want people around me telling me I'm great all the time. I need that.
I don't know. I feel like ever since I've been in the big leagues, it's, you know, everybody's gonna doubt you and this and that, whatever. But, you know, when I first came over here, I honestly might not have hit 300 that year, but I mean, I had 300 at bats, hit 18 homers, and drove in almost 60 runs. I mean, I feel like at 300 at bats, you double that. I mean, that's a pretty good year, you know, if I had more at bats. And, you know, last year, yeah, it is what it is. But, you know, just getting a chance to play every day again, and, you know, it kind of relaxes your mind. I know going to the field today that I don't have to look at the lineup, that I'm in the lineup. And it's one of those things, you get in a rhythm and you just try to keep it going.
All right, so before we let you go, for someone like yourself to have success, it's a lot different than 80-something percent of other major league hitters. You got to do it from both sides of the plate. I can't imagine what it's like to prepare yourself daily for something that's different from yesterday.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy, and I feel like that's taking me time as well to learn that I have two different swings, and you know, my swing from the left side is different than my swing from the right side, and you know, you just got to approach things a little differently, and you know, but yeah, it's definitely not easy, but every now and then you'll get in one of those lefty righty, lefty righty, lefty righty, and then all of a sudden you'll face righties for a week and a half, and you know, you won't pick up a bat right-handed for a while. So yeah, it's something that you just got to get used to and, you know, make that adjustment.
Tell our listeners who are parents of players or young players listening, when's the first year you felt like you really got a handle on being a switch batter? And did you ever say, coach, dad, whoever, I give up. I got to stay on one side. Did you ever have that moment where it was close to where it's like, I'm not sure I can do it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm naturally a right-handed hitter, so I hit right-handed my whole life, and I started probably when I was 12 or 13, hitting left-handed, just messing around with it. And I want to say it was the summer after my freshman year of high school was when I said, all right, I'm going to try it all summer. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, then I'll bang it. And, you know, it ended up my first at-bat left-handed that summer, I hit a homer. And I feel like for me as a switch hitter, as a young kid, left-handed, I had no power. Right-handed, I knew I could hit the ball at the ballpark. So what do you want to do? You want to hit the ball at the ballpark. So why do I want to hit left-handed? But once I started to hit with power left-handed, that's when I figured out that I would keep it and try to take and run with it.